The following is an audio podcast from the Korea Society, celebrating over 50 years of promoting greater awareness, understanding, and cooperation between the people of the United States and Korea. For more information on our programs, please visit our website at www.koreasociety.org. This podcast is brought to you through the generous financial support of the Tongyang Group. In the areas of financial services and manufacturing, the companies of the Tongyang Group harness the passion and creativity of 12,000 employees worldwide to better serve their clients. The Tongyang Group, a global partner for Korean business.
On February 25th, 2010, Bong Joon-ho, director of the critically acclaimed films Barking Dogs Never Bite, Memories of Murder, and The Host, visited the Korea Society to talk about his filmmaking method, career in the Korean movie industry, and newest release, Mother. The interview was conducted by Michael Atkinson, a writer, critic, and professor of film at Long Island University.
It's a delight to welcome you to the Korea Society tonight, along with our executive vice president, Kevin Keough, in the back. And we'd like to mention, before we start here, a few practical aspects and some upcoming events. First and foremost, Director Bong has kindly agreed to sign some film posters afterward. So for about 15 or 20 minutes directly afterward, you'll have the chance to collect a poster out front. And if you'd like, please simply line up and he'll do us the courtesy of signing that to you. Importantly, in terms of some of our events here at the Korea Society, we would like to welcome as many of you as can make it back next Thursday night, when hopefully it'll be drier, for Masks of Night, Faces from Traditional Korean Dance Drama. And so we'll be opening that in our gallery here next Thursday, so do come. On March 17th, we have a showing of Crossing, and that's on our Facing the War, Six Decades of Film Since the Korean War card that you may have picked up on your way in, or certainly you can get it on your way out. And do come back April 22nd for our gala with former Secretary of State Colin Powell, and there'll be more information soon up on our webpage about that. I'd like to extend a few special thank yous to staff who have worked very, very hard in bringing Director Bong Joon-ho here, both now and in the past, 2 or 3 years ago when we had the retrospective at the IFC. And first and foremost is Yuni Cho, our Senior Program Officer in Film, and we have a very talented media and events team here that's put together the technical aspects. And a special thank you to Mina Cho, who hand-designed the floral arrangement for this evening. I'd also like to thank Counsel Choi from the Korean Consulate General, who is actually a former classmate of Director Bong's and who has come to join us tonight. The Korea Society invests a lot in people and the back and forth between Korea and the United States and really pushes to enhance that understanding. One of our investments 2 or 3 years ago was in trying to spread the word about this fastly rising director, Bong Joon-ho. And so some of you were along for that sold-out series at IFC, which we did in cooperation with Magnolia, the distributor who has been kind enough to bring him here again this evening. So if you have been along for that, or if you'd like to be with us in the future as we try to promote vibrant young Korean voices here in the United States, please do join as a member of the Korea Society, and do check out regularly www.koreasociety.org. Our moderator this evening is Michael Atkinson, whom I'm sure many of you remember from his excellent work at the Village Voice, and who is really, I think, one of the more profound writers and film critics that we have in our society today. And of course, without further ado, to welcome director Bong Joon-ho, who is with us. You know him from Barking Dogs Never Bite, Memories of Murder, The Host, which showed to over 10 million viewers worldwide, and Mother, which some of you may have seen. If you have not, it goes into wide release in another week here, and we strongly encourage you to take your friends to see Mother. It's really a fantastic, fantastic film. Director Bong Joon-ho is on his way to Boston, where he'll be speaking at Harvard. He is going to Washington, D.C., and he will be in Los Angeles, where he is an Independent Spirit Award nominee. So we wish him luck with that very distinguished award. And ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Director Bong Joon-ho.
Okay. All right. So the question was about the what's been perceived in this country, at least, as a Korean New Wave. And I guess the question is, do you perceive it that way? And also, if so, where did it come from? Why did it happen?
사실 90년대 중후반에 갑자기 젊은 감독들이 막 한꺼번에 쏟아져 나온 거는 사실이죠. 근데 우리들 스스로가 무슨 이게 뉴웨이브라거나 그런 식의 자의식이 있었던 건 아니에요. 각자 하다 보니까 그렇게 된, 저도 그래서, 예, 저도 이제 제 앞가림 하기에 급급했었는데, 어떻게 묶이다 보니까 그런 하나의 그룹처럼 되어 오고 말았죠. 근데 90년대 중반에 그렇게밖에 될 수 없었던 상황은 있었던 것 같습니다.
Of course, in the early 90s and the 2000s, there was, that phenomenon called the Korean Wave that you were mentioning. It wasn't something that the collective group of us did consciously. It just happened to be that certain filmmakers were making good output during that time. And at that time, I wasn't really concerned about that, and none of us really were. We were just focused on making our own films. We weren't really trying to make that happened as it was. It just happened that way that we were making our own films and happened to be in that time period.
그 92년도에 이제 엄밀히 말해서 이제 92년도에 군사 정권이 사실상 끝이 났었거든요. 그래서 민간 정부가 들어오게 되면서 영화 제작이 자유화됐었고 그다음에 센서십이 그 검열이 없어졌어요. 그래서 새로운 프로듀서와 감독들이 그때 대거 의욕적으로 등장하게 됐고요. 세대 교체된 프로듀서들은 또 젊은 감독들과 일하기를 원했고요. 그래서 아까 말씀하셨던 뭐 김기덕, 홍상수, 임상수 이런 감독님들이 그때 다 대거 새롭게 등장을 했던 것이 아닌가 생각합니다.
By the year 1992, the militaristic regime had ended and democracy was setting in. There was more freedom on censorship and freedom of filmmaking that let new directors and new filmmakers try new things. There was a lot of fresh blood coming into the system of filmmaking in the industry, and of course people like Kim Ki-duk and Hong Sang-soo and the ones you've mentioned are among that crop. And even the older generation of filmmakers also wanted to work with these younger people as well, so that was another push.
Okay, do you think that there is a distinctive flavor to the new films for the last 10 years? Of films, really, as compared to, well, compared to film in general or compared to the Korean films the way they were before? Because it seems to us that there's a very distinctive Korean-ness to a lot of the films that have come out over the last 10 years.
저희 직접 이제 영화를 만들었던 감독들 입장에서는 뭐 우리가 뭐가 다른 걸까 뭐 세계적으로 생각해 본 적은 없지만 일단 저희 저나 뭐 김지훈, 박찬욱 감독님 이런 분들은 다 영화 매니아 출신이에요. 그래서 그게 우리 전 세대들과는 다르죠. 그러니까 예를 들어 우리 한국의 뭐 임권택 감독님 같은 분들은 어릴 때부터 영화 현장에서 이제 장인으로 커오신 분들인데 저희들은 비디오 가게를 출입하면서 어떻게 보면 그 필름 매니아 세대였던 것 같아요. 그 홍상수 감독님 같으신 분은 또 미국에서 공부를 하셨던 걸로 알고 있는데 그렇게 유학을 갔다 오신 분들도 계셨고요. 그런 차이가는 확실히 있는 것 같습니다.
Although I'm not sure there's a distinct difference, the newer generation of filmmakers like Kim Ji-hoon and Park Chan-wook are what I would call film maniacs. We were really into films and we really loved films and watching it, and including myself, we were the generation that frequented video stores, you know, renting videos and watching the videos and movies like that. Someone like Lee Kwon-taek, who's much older than us, obviously has a rich tradition of filmmaking on set, being on set and having made films already for many, many years before him, before us. And so I think that's the difference, where we're kind of not from that film on set kind of environment, whereas the older generation was already making films for a long time. I believe Hong Sang-soo has studied in America, and there's obviously a lot of younger generation directors that have studied abroad outside of Korea.
Okay. Starting with Barking Dogs, which, first of all, the English title translates to a higher animal. Who decided on Barking Dogs Never Bite?
My distribution company.
Oh, really?
not Magnolia, but
it's a very different
Korean foreign sale company. Yeah.
It's a very different kind of title. It's a movie in which the beleaguered hero, who's a teacher, kills dogs more or less out of frustration, it seems. Your main characters, starting here, your main characters are always either dim-witted slobs or nearly sociopathic. never responsible for their actions, always impulsive, and that's part of the action that gets the stories usually going. And yet, we're never compelled to judge them. And I guess I'm asking, why do you empathize consistently with characters like that?
제가 그 평소 실제 생활에서도 입장 정리를 잘 못하는 편입니다. 어떤 사람이나 사건에 대해서 이중적인 입장을 갖고 있는 게 많습니다. 사람 참 혐오스럽다. 근데 또 이렇게 생각하면 되게 불쌍하지. 이런 생각을 많이 하는데 제 영화 속 주인공들한테도 그런 이중적인 입장을 갖게 되는 것 같아요.
I'm not a person that can really be set about one person's attributes, and I'm not able to really say that I'm inclined towards one personality or another, but I think I always have a kind of duality of accepting a person and kind of hating the person, but also having sympathy for them as well. So those characters are things that I recognize in them, and I'm not easily prone to judge or make judgment on making them distinct as one side or the other.
살인의 추억에 나왔던 그 형사들에 대해서도 비슷한 입장이었던 것 같습니다. 폭력적인 그 군사 독재 시절의 형사들이고 용의자들 막 두들겨 패고 나쁜 사람들이죠. 근데 동시에 또 영화에서 보면 되게 미워할 수 없게 나오거든요. 또 그들 나름대로 또 불쌍하기도 하고 양가적인 입장이 있는데 그런 관점이 늘 계속됐던 것 같습니다.
Even the detectives and memories of murder, they're what you would call bad cops. They, you know, hit their witnesses and their suspects, and they're violent towards them and stuff like that. And those are obviously qualities that we shouldn't accept readily, but you can also, you really can't hate them either for it, because everything else about them is so meanable.
그래서 정당화, 무조건 정당화할 순 없지만 가해자인 사람들 속에는 항상 동시에 피해자의 면모도 조금씩은 숨어 있다고 생각하는 편입니다.
I think there's always a duality of the victim within the instigator, someone that instigates something also has an aspect of the victim inside them as well.
Okay. How thoroughly did you... before I actually get to that, there's the first hint of kind of a thematic sense in the first movie of an unseen world kind of beneath the one that we ordinarily live in. You know, this one, there's ghost stories, and then there's the possibility of ghosts and vagrants and dogs yapping that the hero can't quite get to. And it's pervasive, and this is something, you know, that I think that arises in the other movies. It presents a pervasive sense of like a secret world haunting, you know, the one that we're ostensibly trying to live in and trying to survive in. And this is something that kind of mysteriously creates anxiety for the characters. I guess, I mean, how much of that is actually something you consciously think about?
사실 뭐, 인물에서건 공간에서건, 저는 비밀, 감춰진 것을 다루는 걸 좋아하고요. 개인적으로 어렸을 때 아파트 지하실에서 좀 좋지 않은 일도 있었습니다. 그래서 아파트 지하실을 되게 영화적으로 좋아합니다. 단편 영화에서 찍은 적도 있고요. 여기서도 그 경비 아저씨라든가 노숙자와 관련된 이 영화에서도 여러 비밀스러운 일들이 지하실에서 벌어지죠.
In both people and in spaces, I do like to deal with the secrets and the hidden sides of them. And the apartment basement is somewhere that I've had some strange memories of myself. And I've shot a couple of my short films in that kind of underground apartment basement space. And people like the security guards and other people who dwell in that kind of space, I've also had an interest in dealing with that.
어떤 캐릭터에서 사실 풀리지 않는 의문이나 미스테리가 계속 남아있기를 바라는 심정이 있고요. 그런 게 좀 모호하기 때문에 그런 걸 싫어하는 관객분들도 계시지만 심지어 영화가 끝나도 풀리지 않는 의문들이 계속 남아있었으면 하는 때가 많이 있어요. 마더에서 특히 더 그랬던 것 같습니다. 제가 마더에선 좀 심하게 그랬었는지 그것 때문에 좀 짜증을 내는 관객분들도 계셨고 좀 죄송하긴 하더라고요.
Especially with characters, I tend to leave a lot of things ambiguous about their motives and their actions. And especially in this, in my latest film, Mother, I kind of wanted to have people wonder about what was really being dealt with. And I wanted that there to remain some questions that they were had to think about. And some people kind of called me out on it, saying that I was too ambiguous and they didn't understand what was going on with the film. And I'm kind of, they expressed their frustrations that way. And I'm kind of, sorry for that and not having made that so too clear to them. But it's something that I like about leaving things a little ambiguous.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that too. But speaking of ambiguity, let's look at a clip of Memories of Murder.
Could be the greatest police procedural ever made.
this was based on a real case from the 80s. I guess, why? What was the thing that drew you to that case to make a film? You know, I don't know how close, well, I guess that's another question. How closely does it fit the circumstance of that case?
네. 뭐 예를 들면 방금 보신 장면, 그 약간 핸디캡 장애가 있는 어떤 사람이 이렇게 실제 기차에 뛰어들어 자살했던 뭐 그런 에피소드는 실제 사건에서 있었던 거고요. 실제 사건과 제가 상상한 것과 또 원작 연극 희곡이 있어요. 그거 세 가지가 복잡하게 뒤엉켜 있는. 그렇지만 이제 크게 봤을 때는 전반적으로 실제 사건에 기반을 하고 있고요.
That last scene in particular was based on a real incident where a mentally unstable man killed himself in front of a train, in the path of a train. So I combine a lot of actual things that happened in real life as well as my imagination. And for this film, in particular, a play that I came into contact with a stage play. And I combined a lot of those things with my imagination and my thinking for making this film.
이 영화를 사실 처음 구상했던 이유는 사실 되게 강력한 범죄 영화를 한번 찍고 싶은 욕망이 있었어요. 어릴 때부터 그 추리소설이나 범죄소설, 범죄 영화 같은 걸 되게 좋아했었습니다. 심지어는 첫 영화였던 이제 프란다스에게 좀 전에 봤던 마킹도 그것도 제 나름대로는 제 딴에는 범죄 영화라고 생각했습니다. 사람 대신 이제 강아지를 죽이지만은 연쇄 강아지 살인 사건을 살인이 아니네. 시리얼 도그 킬링 무비다. 뭐 이렇게 생각했었는데. 근데, 프란다 세계가 이제 완전히 대실패를 하고 나서, 박스 오피스에서 이제 대재앙을 맞이하고 이제, 좀 완전 본격적인 범죄 영화를 해보자라는 생각이 있었죠. 근데, 전형적인 헐리우드식 스릴러 영화를 해보고 싶은 생각은 없었어요. 되게 사실적이고 한국적인 범죄 영화를 만들어 보고 싶다라는 생각이 있었고 그러다 보니까 80년대 너무나 유명한 사건이었던 이제 화성연쇄 살인 사건으로 생각이 가게 됐었습니다.
The first idea that came into my head about this making this this film was because I had an interest in crime thrillers from a very young age. Even to the point where the barking dogs never bite. My first film. I consider that to be a crime crime thriller movie as well, a serial dog killing movie, as you said before. But unfortunately, it bombed at the box office. And for my next film, I really wanted to do a true crime thriller, a film that deals with a very gritty real crime. I never really wanted to do it in the style of any Hollywood film or anything like that, but wanted to make a very Korean crime thriller movie. And what brought me to was the 80s Hwasong serial murders of the young girls, and that's where I start making this film.
그런데 이제 막상 이제 시나리오를 쓰면서 영화를 준비하면서 생각이 좀 많이 바뀌게 됐어요. 처음엔 이제 범죄 영화라는 장르 때문에 출발하게 된 거였는데 막상 그 실제 사건 자료를 다시 오랜만에 뒤적이다 보니까 그 사건 자체의 충격이나 분노가 되게 크게 다시 다가와서 저의 태도나 입장이 좀 바뀌었죠. 이거는 죽은 희생됐던 사람들을 위한 영화 또는 사건을 존중하는 영화를 만들어야겠다는 생각으로 바뀌었고요. 그 사건 자체에 대해서 저 자신이 되게 화가 났었어요. 이렇게 여자들이 죽어갔고 범인을 못 잡았다는 거에 대한 분노가 되게 폭발을 했었는데 심지어 영화를 찍는 과정에서 내가 범인을 잡을 수 있지 않을까 이런 망상까지 했을 정도로 워낙 범인에 대한 조사를 제가 많이 했었거든요. 너무 깊게 빠져들어 있는 상태였고 그래서 그런 되게 감정적인 마음으로 찍었죠. 우리가 왜 실패했었나에 대한. 네.
But upon writing the script for Memories of Murder, I kind of changed the idea of making a crime thriller genre movie into making this about more about a film for the victims or those who were left behind. Because I became really shocked and very angry when I was looking through the files and the research about this case. And I was engrossed in the story and the research and the incident so much that I thought that I could probably find the true killer because at that point it was still an unsolved mystery. And it gave us a lot of thought about made us wonder why we couldn't find this killer all these years. And becoming engrossed in these research files and having done so much research on the possible killers, I was thinking that maybe I could find and catch this killer. And it was a very emotional response of making the film for me.
Okay. Did they ever find out the killer?
찾았나요?
You said at this point, so I think.
그 이후로 찾았나요?
제가 예, 저는 개인적으로 한 세 번 정도는 꿈에서 만났습니다.
I've met the killer about 3 times in my dreams.
하도 그 인물에 대한 생각을 많이 했었기 때문에 그 사람을 만나면은 하고 싶었던 질문 같은 것도 한 30가지 이상 뽑아놓은 것도 있었고.
There was about 30 questions that I had ready for to ask him when I had the chance, but it was only in my.
근데 뭐 실제로는 범인은 아직 안 잡혔죠. 영원히 미스테리가 됐고요. 그 공소시효. 공소시효도 이제 지났고요.
아 예. Unfortunately, it still is an unsolved case, and because of statutory limits, you can't really have any go into more about the case. So it's still unsolved.
그래서 저와 그 스태프 멤버들 사이에는 이제 영화를 찍으면서 그런 얘기를 많이 했었어요. 영화가 완성돼서 개봉이 되면 범인이 극장에 와서 볼 것이다. 자기 얘기를 다룬 거니까. 그래서 그런 생각을 많이 했었죠. 그래서 그 라스트 씬에 보면 송강호 씨가 카메라를 딱 봅니다. 실패했던 형사와 극장에 앉아 있는 범인을 이렇게 서로 눈을 마주보게 해주고 싶었어요.
So while we were making the film, the staff and I had a lot of talking, did a lot of talking about the subject matter, and we kind of came upon the idea that if we put this film out onto the screens, one day the actual killer of the incident will be watching the movie, and. They're going to be in the theater watching my film on the screen. And so in the last scene of the movie, you see Song Kang-ho, the main detective, look into the camera straight at the audience. Right. And it was about having the eyes of that failed detective who couldn't find the killer look directly into the eyes of the killer. I wanted to have that moment in the film.
Right.
Okay. You seem to deeply respect the weight of off-screen events in all of your movies. You could say that Memories of Murder is actually like a document of like a peripheral story that happened, that while the actual story, you know, was going on that we never see, that and was never a movie, you know. I guess what we, I mean, it seems to me that you've already talked about the ambiguity that you like to put into movies, but it seems like you might have chosen this case particularly because it was unsolved, and the inconclusiveness of it allowed you to explore all these things that happen off the frame, out of the frame, you know, all these things that, and it was, I don't know, it's a very complex thing that the movie does in terms of the way it explores what the detectives find, but in the meantime, there's all these things happening outside of their experience.
예, 좀 전에 말씀드렸던 그 제가 이 영화를 만들 때 태도랑 직결된 문제인 것 같아요. 주제 처음에는 이제 범죄물 장르를 만들고 싶었던 건데 나중에는 이제 우리가 왜 실패했었나 되게 그 분노나 슬픔을 갖고 영화를 찍었는데 그때 이제 제 스스로 했던 질문이 이제 왜 우리는 살인범을 잡는데 실패했을까 거기에 대한 답을 이제 저는 그 당시 80년대에 우리가 범인을 잡을 능력이 안 되었다라는 결론에 도달했었거든요. 좀 뼈 아픈 결론이긴 하지만 우리 사회나 국가나 경찰이나 비록 최선을 다했지만 범인을 잡을 수 있는 능력 자체가 안 됐던 그런 어두운 시대였다라는 결론에 도달했고 그러다 보니까 시대라든가 이 영화의 프레임에 보여지는 것 외에 이 그 프레임 바깥에 존재하는 이 전체 80년대라는 시대 자체가 되게 중요하게 생각이 되면서 말씀하신 그런 스타일도 더 강조가 된 것 같아요. 그러니까 아까 문기동 사건도 뭐 잠깐 나오지만 비록 카메라는 계속 형사와 범인, 형사와 용의자들의 뒤를 카메라는 계속 쫓아가지만 관객의 머릿속은 계속 그 80년대의 전체 한국 사회 전체의 모습이 머릿속에 이렇게 환기되기를 바랬거든요. 그게 아마 스타일에도 더 영향을 준 것 같아요.
Of course, at first I wanted to make a true crime genre, crime film, a genre film, a crime thriller, and that naturally evolved into me making a very emotional film about anger and sadness about the incident and why it wasn't unsolved, and asking the question, why did we fail in catching this killer? And what conclusion we came to was that we weren't ready to catch, and we weren't prepared to catch that killer. The cops at the time, the government, the society as a whole was not ready to prepare and be ready for that situation. And what I really wanted to emphasize in this film and what ended up happening was that you see the camera follows the detectives and the possible suspects in the action of the camera, but I wanted the audience to also feel the very distinct taste of the 80s at the specific time that Korea was in, that 80s period when these things were going on outside of Korea society. I wanted people to feel that and have that sense of something going on outside of that frame and get the sense that the 80s of Korea is something that wasn't prepared for, that wasn't prepared for this incident.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask why you mistrust police so much.
아니 저는 뭐 경찰 가족들을 되게 사랑합니다.
I do in fact love families of cops and detectives very much.
마더 찍을 때는 또 경찰분들한테 도움도 많이 받았고요.
Especially when shooting Mother, I had a lot of help from families of cops and detectives.
마더에서 나오는 형사들을 보면은 여기 80년대 이 살인의 추억대 형사들보다는 되게 많이 발전된 모습을 볼 수 있습니다.
If you watch Mother, they're a lot more advanced than the 80s cops that you saw in the clips just now.
절대 이제 용의자를 때리지 않고요. They would never 과실을 때리죠.
They would never hit a suspect like they do here. Instead, they hit the apple.
The apple. Yeah.
그리고 그 여전히 좀 엉뚱한 실수를 하는 모습이 나오는데 그거는 뭐 꼭 경찰에 대한 혐오라기보다는 인간이 누구나 실수를 하잖아요. 그래서 경찰도 인간이니까 그런 뭐 오히려 그래서 마더에서 형사들은 보면은 약간 어리숙한 실수를 하긴 하지만 오히려 더 인간적이지 않은가 은근 귀엽지 않은가 저는 뭐 제 나름대로 그렇게 생각을 했습니다만 경찰 가족들이 보시기에는 좀 기분이 안 좋으실 수도 있지 않을까.
I wouldn't say I hate cops, but so in the movie Mother, they do make the similar kinds of mistakes that the cops in the, Memories from Murder also made. But those are mistakes that I would say it's not a pass against cops, but rather those are human mistakes that anybody can do. Cops are human as well. And I think it even makes these people endearing in a way.
Okay. Who are your favorite dead American filmmakers?
Dead American filmmakers. 살아있는 사람도 많이 좋아하는데.
I like living filmmakers as well. I don't know why you're asking.
I'm not interested though. Yeah.
얼마 전에 제가 한국에서 시네마테크 서울에 있는 시네마테크에서 존 포드 영화를 다시 봤는데요. How Green Was My Valley? 그 나의 계곡은 푸르렀다. 근데 존 포드 그렇게 좋아하는 감독은 아니었는데 요즘 들어 필름으로 다시 보니까 되게 새롭게 다가오는 돌아가신 분 중에는 그분이 생각나네요.
아, recently I had a chance to watch one of John Ford's film at Cinematheque in Seoul. Called How Green Was My Valley, and seeing his film on film, it brought back memories of him as well. Other
사실 70년대 미국 영화를 되게 많이 좋아하는 편입니다. 그 감독님들이 살아있는지 돌아가셨는지는 정확히 모르겠지만 70년대 미국 영화들이 심지어는 그 스튜디오에서 만들어진 영화조차도 되게 파워풀하고 나름의 아우라를 가지고 있는 영화들이 많이 있었던 것 같아요. 70년대 영화들로부터 자극이나 영감을 많이 받는 편인 것 같아요.
I tend to like the movies of the 70s, the films from the 70s. Can't really say if I remember which of the directors that made films then are living or dead right now, but... The films from that era, even the studio films of that era, I think are very powerful and have their own distinct aura that inspires me and I think of as well.
It's funny, I thought of those movies too, especially from the 70s, the satires in the 70s, the whole the sense of a lot of 70s films, films by like Michael Ritchie or Paul Mazursky or Network, Sidney Lumet, movies that were all about America, about slices of America, and yet it made they made merciless fun of the culture. And it seems that you are doing kind of the same thing, albeit in, you know, strange genres and murder mysteries and monster movies and things like that. You're also really taking a, you know, slicing up the Korean culture in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it seems mixing those with genres that seems kind of strange. Because they're funny movies, you know all these.
그, 개인적으로 사실 제가 미국 장르 영화를 많이 좋아했고요. 어릴 때부터 장르 영화를 보면서 자랐지만, 장르를 사랑하지만 또 장르를 이렇게 파괴한달까? 장르를 욕보이고 싶은 그런 또 마음이 동시에 있어요. 그래서 그 두 가지 균열된 마음이 뒤섞이게 되는 것 같습니다. 그래서 장르 컨벤션을 어떨 땐 따랐다가, 어떨 땐 그걸 완전히 파괴했다가. 그 장르 컨벤션이 파괴될 때 거기에 이제 되게 한국적인 분위기나 한국적인 현실들이 막 들어가게 되는 것 같아요.
I like American genre films in general, and I really like to work with the genres and also break them. I tend to follow conventions for a little while and then break them completely and insert a little bit of Koreanness into those broken segments where for someone else it might seem different and strange, but in fact, that's what's the Korean side that I'm putting it into that break of the genre, and that's the kind of mode that I work towards.
사실 그 한국에서 한 1년쯤 살아보시면 알겠지만 그 장르적인 법칙이 적용이 안 됩니다. 한국 사회 자체가 워낙 이상하게 돌아가는 되게 독특한 사회여서 예. 장르 컨벤션을 적용하기가 쉽지가 않은 나라예요. 예. 장르도 한때는 리얼리티였을 겁니다. 미국에서는. 30년대 그 갱스터 시대에 누아르 영화가 나왔거나 이런 식으로 애초에는 그것도 컨벤션이기 전에 어떤 사실적인 것이었을 텐데 어찌됐건 미국이나 서양의 것이라고 볼 수 있죠. 근데 한국은 한국 사람들만의 독특한 정서와 현실이 되게 독특하기 때문에 달라질 수밖에 없는 것 같아요.
In fact, if you live in Korea for about a year, you'll realize that Korea has a very strange and unique place that really you can't fit it into one genre. And if you really think about it, all genres were probably reality at one point before they became the genres that they are. Like something like the 30s gangster movies and things like that, we consider a genre today, but at some point in history, that was reality. I think Korean society and Korea has a different kind of sensibility that is different from those.
Okay, well, I would agree, especially in terms of the way it's shown in The Host, and we can show a clip from The Host now, that'd be great. Also based on a historical incident, I understand, an incident of what, the army, toxic dumping, or whatever it was, right? Do you consider yourself a political filmmaker?
네, 아니, 뭐, 선거철에 저는 투표도 잘 게을러서, 네. 선거 공휴일이 있다 보니까 극장에 영화 보러 가고 뭐 이런 타입인데. 네. 근데 그 괴물, 오히려 이 영화는 몬스터 장르가 괴물 장르 영화이기 때문에 오히려 더 약간은 저질스러운 정치 풍자를 담아보자라는 욕구가 오히려 더 있었습니다. 4,50년대 사이파이 영화처럼요. 되게 노골적이고 직설적인 정치 풍자를 되게 일종의 정치적인 조크 같은 거랄까요? 4,50년대 미국 SF 영화도 보면 뭐 외계인이 소비에트처럼 나온다거나 뭐 그런 식의 되게 약간 저질스러운 은유를 하는 게 많잖아요. 저도 약간 그런 분위기로 가고 싶은 마음이 있긴 했었죠. 네.
Well, on my day off, they give us a day off to go vote, and I find myself going to the movies on my day off instead of voting, so I'm not really sure if I would call myself a political filmmaker, but since this was a monster film and it was definitely a genre film, we kind of thought that we should probably put something a little more obnoxious and a little more direct in poking fun at the politics and the society, at greater society. If you look at the sci-fi films of the 40s and the 50s, so say the aliens come out and they look like, they seem like the, they're like the Soviets or something like that. There's very direct poking fun at the politics of that era. So I think we did try to put in a little more directly some comments about that in a more outlandish way, poking fun at the government.
좀 전에 말씀하셨던 그 영화의 오프닝 씬에 보면 이제 미군 의사, 그 군의관인가요? 네, 미군 의사가 이제 독극물을 한강에 방류하는 이제 그 오프닝 씬이 나오는데 그게 실제 2000년도에 있었던 사건이고요. 맥팔랜드 사건이라고 되게 유명한 사건인데 그 사건을 신문에서 처음 봤을 때 아, 이거는 무조건 이 괴물 영화의 오프닝이다라고 생각을 했었어요. 되게 신이 났었습니다. 그래서 기사를 보면서. 그래서 실제 사건인데 또 너무나 사건 자체가 장르적인 거예요. 어두운 그 영안실에서 이렇게 포름알데하이드를 이렇게 촥 방류하고 이제 그게 한강으로 흘러들어가서 이제 돌연변이 괴물이 나오는 거잖아요. 어쩜 이렇게 실제 사건인데 또 장르 영화적일까. 쾌재를 불렀던 그런 재밌게 영화를 시작할 수 있겠다라는 그러면서 그 미국을 풍자하자. 네. 그런 미국을 정치적으로 풍자 대상으로 삼을 수 있겠다. 몬스터 영화는 이제 물론 일본 고질라도 있긴 하지만 또 미국의 장르이기도 한데 가장 미국적인 장르로 미국을 풍자해보자. 이게 되게 재밌을 것 같았어요. 그래서 시작하게 됐죠.
As you mentioned, the opening sequence of the film Host is where in the military lab where they pour the chemical down the drain, and that in turn causes the mutation that we see the monster come to be. It's a real case, happened in 2000, called the McFarland incident. When I read that in the newspapers, I was very excited about using that as the opening scene. It was so perfect because it was a very genre-like opening. Like it fit into the genre of a sci-fi, a fantasy-ish movie. That dark lab pouring out the chemicals and causing this mutation is so genre specific, and what we tried to do was use the very specific genre of creature horror monster movie that is so very American and kind of satirize American society, and poke fun at the American government and its ways. Of course, there's films like Godzilla that take on Japanese norms as well. But in this one, I wanted to make a very specific American genre movie, which is the science fiction genre movie and monster movie, and use that to satirize America.
Godzilla versus the smog monster.
Godzilla versus the
had the environmental thing. Never mind. Okay. Again, here also a lot of off-screen business going on. A lot of what happens is a mystery in the film, you know, and in Mother as well. And I guess and you've already talked how much you like doing that, but I'm trying to get at exactly why. Do you leave the gaps of knowledge to accentuate the impact of what happens in the story, or is it a matter of expressing a certain theme or a certain attitude you have toward storytelling or toward your material?
대단한 어떤 저의 무슨 철학적 입장이 있어서라기보다도요. 쉽게 생각해 봤을 때는 스토리텔러로서 스토리를 만들어 나가는, 저는 이제 직접 시나리오를 쓰니까요. 스토리텔러로서, 오해? 등장인물들끼리 서로, 오해하거나 커뮤니케이션이 잘 안 돼요. 제 영화의 내러티브나 이제 드라마를 보면은. 그렇게 구축되어지는 드라마를 좋아합니다. 오해가 난무하고 서로가 서로에 대해서 정확하게 이해를 못 그 극치를 보여주는 게 마더죠. 그토록 생명처럼 아끼는 자기 아들인데 자기 아들에 대해서도 끝내 그 엄마는 잘 몰랐던 걸로 드러나잖아요. 영화에 나서. 그게 그 영화의 어두움이고 잔인함이기도 한데 뭐 마더에서뿐 아니라 전반적으로 인물들끼리 서로 커뮤니케이션이 잘 안 됩니다. 네. 개인적으로 저의 가족들도 그랬던 것 같고 기본적으로 그렇게 보는 관점이 있습니다. 제가 사람들을 항상 만나보고 생각하면 오해. 그리고 오해로부터 발생되는 드라마들은 되게 다이나믹하고 심지어는 재미있는 것 같아요. 그래서 스토리를 만들 때 항상 거기에 많이 끌리게 됩니다.
It's not because I have some kind of philosophical aversion to showing what's the meat of the story, as you might say. But as a storyteller, and because I'm writing the script myself for all my films, I tend to find that I like to express characters that have confusion and miscommunication amongst them, when they misunderstand each other. Especially in Mother, that's probably the most obvious case where the mother who had been raising her son so lovingly winds up finding out that she does not know her son at all. And that's a very big gap in communication and understanding between those two characters. And you could say that I could also say that it was like that, like some degree to that of that in my family as well, in my own family, growing up. And I think that kind of miscommunication and misunderstanding between characters creates a very dynamic story in general, and makes me want to explore that more.
Okay. The cinephiles in the U.S. love Asian and European movies, among other reasons, for their scarcity of CGI special effects. In fact, you know, The Host is something of an exception of a movie that was kind of universally praised and that centered on using CGI that was an import, you know. Anyway, there aren't that many of them, but I've talked to many non-American filmmakers who would love the opportunity to use them at the same time. I guess the question, was it a motivating factor behind The Host, or, you know, was it just a means to an end?
그 사실 컴퓨터 그래픽이나 무슨 비주얼 이펙트가 많이 들어가는 영화 또는 그로 인해서 예산이 되게 커지는 영화를 사실 전혀 좋아하지 않습니다. 괴물도 무슨 큰 사이즈의 영화나 뭐 비주얼 이펙트 영화를 하고 싶어서 했던 게 전혀 아니고요. 그냥 순전히 어릴 때부터 상상해왔던 한강에 괴물이 뛰어다니는 영화가 나오면 어떻게 될까라는 거를 실현시키려다 보니까 어쩔 수 없이 뭐 사람이 무슨 탈을 뒤집어쓰고 할 수는 없잖아요. 시대적인 상황도 그렇고 그래서 어쩔 수 없이 이제 컴퓨터 그래픽을 저도 스스로 공부했고요. 그러다 보니까 많은 예산이 들어가게 됐고요. 결국 그 핵심적인 괴물의 그 시각 효과, 괴물의 크리처 그 컴퓨터 그래픽은 미국 회사가 했는데요. 지금은 없어진 이제 오퍼너지라는 샌프란시스코에 있는 회사였는데 미국을 풍자하는 영화를 찍는 과정에서 결국은 미국 회사의 또 컴퓨터 그래픽에 의존하게 되는 되게 재밌는 상황이었던 것 같아요. 그리고 뉴질랜드랑 한국의 또 시각 효과 회사들도 같이 참여해서 다 뒤섞여서 작업을 했었죠. 참 못할 짓이란 생각이 들었습니다. 너무 감독으로서 어려운 게 많았고요. 시각 효과 영화를 찍는 게 참 쉬운 일이 아니더라고요. 한국적인 시스템에서. 그래서 얼마 전에 그 해운대라고 여기 한국 분들 아실 텐데 윤재균 감독님 그분을 우연히 편집실 앞에서 만났다가 CG 영화 참 힘드시죠? 그랬더니 서로 손 붙잡고 막 울라 그랬어요. 그 서로 고통을. 예. 이 뒤에 에피소드는 통역을 안 하셔도 될 것 같아요.
왜요?
There's lots of, obviously there's lots of films that use a lot of CG and in turn they have a very big bulging budget that happens because of that. And I'm not one that particularly likes that kind of scenario. I didn't really want to make a creature or CG effect movie, but simply the reason why I made Host was because I had, from a very young age, I kind of wondered what would happen if such a monster came out of the Han River. It was just a thought that popped up when I was younger. And that's what made this movie. And in this day and age, I can't have a person wear a suit to be in the monster, you know. So CG was obviously the way to go. And it did take a good chunk of money to do it with a CG company in America called Orphanage. They were a studio based in San Francisco. They're gone now, but it's kind of ironic because I was satirizing America and using American resources to make American technical resources to make the creature. And besides Orphanage, there was also a studio in New Zealand and another Korean company that contributed to the effects of that film. And I think it's definitely not an easy thing for the Korean marketplace to sustain that kind of CG spectacular kind of film. There's a recent film called Haeundae by the filmmaker Yoon Jae-kyun. It came out sometime summer last year about a big wave in Busan. I met the director in front of the editing room one day and I asked him, CG is really difficult, isn't it? And we both kind of broke down and were down crying. And yeah, I wasn't supposed to tell you guys that, but he said, "Don't say it." But
don't say
it. It's funny.
Okay. Okay. Let's look at the trailer for Mother, and then we'll have a Q&A. Okay. I understood. Okay, just a few questions because I'm presuming most of you haven't seen it, so I don't want to. I don't want to ruin it. Is this another true story, loosely adapted, or?
아 이거는 실제 사건도 아니고 원작도 없고요. 그냥 제가 이렇게 언급결에 만들게 된 스토리입니다.
There is no true story behind this or any other base. It's something that I've kind of come up with.
Okay. Okay. Despite the presence of, as you can see from the clips, a retarded man who's violently interrogated for murder, kind of like for Memories of Murder. It's kind of the opposite of Memories of Murder in a sense, isn't it? I mean, all the mysteries and hidden spaces and all the unanswered questions that were in Memories of Murder are, we eventually find out. You know, we eventually, you know, Mother is more of a traditional genre piece in that sense, but all the, you know, all the things that are hanging in the air through the whole movie as mysteries are eventually solved. And I was, I guess, wondering if you had a change of heart.
그 살인의 추억 같은 경우는 그 범인을 못 잡는다 또는 범인이 누군지 알 수 없다. 알 수 없다라는 게 명확히 이제 드러나면서 끝나는 거고요. 약간 말장난 같은데 미스테리를 명확하게 보여주고 끝나는 거고요.
잡히지 않은 범인을. 마더는 반대로 누가 살인자인지는 명확하게 보여지는데 왜 그랬고 그 사람은 과연 어디까지 알고 있으며 그 사람의 머릿속은 알 수 없는 거죠. 그게 반대인 것 같아요.
Memories of Murder is obviously an unsolved case, and it kind of ends with the fact that you can't know the killer in the end. It ends with the mystery in that sense, because it's a mystery film that ends with the mystery. In Mother's case, we kind of find out who the killer is. We have an answer, but you also don't know, you still don't know why it happened and what was going through their minds, when it happened. And there's still a certain mystery to that.
제가 영화를 만드는 뭐 방식이나 접근법이 바뀌었다기보다도요. 살인의 추억은 이제 80년대 사회나 시대에 관한 얘기였는데 마더는 되게 강력하지만 이제 개인에 집중하는 영화였거든요. 그래서 남이나 나 자신이나 이렇게 사람이 사람을 알기가 되게 힘들다고 믿는 편이라서 그런지 사회를 이렇게 해부하거나 그럴 때보다 오히려 개인을 다룰 때 더 많은 미스터리가 남겨지게 되는 것 같아요. 정말 잘 모르겠어요. 나도 내가 어떤 사람인지 잘 모를 때가 많거든요. 그러니까 마찬가지인 것 같아요. 이 영화에서 그려진 엄마의 시점에서 본 아들이 나오는데 이 영화에서 그 아들 바보라고만 생각했던 그 아들에 남겨진 여러 가지 미스터리들이
Rather than change in my filmmaking approach, I would say that Memories of Murder was definitely concerned with conveying a sense of the 80s period, time period, and the society and the greater things around that era. And I think Mother, I'm very much more focused on a singular character, and because I find that it's hard to trust or know what a person's truly. A single character very, very deeply. And, I would say that I don't even know myself completely either. So when you're dealing with one specific person, it gets much more difficult to completely understand them. In Mother, we encounter the son, Dojun, through the eyes of the mother, from the point of view of the mother. And, she finds that she doesn't completely understand that person that she was so focused on either. And those are the concerns that I was working with.
Okay, we're, I guess, running a little close with time, at least as far as I'm concerned. So if I could take some questions from you guys. Yes. Oh, microphone's coming.
Hi there, I'm Hee-sun. We've been talking a lot about genres tonight. Mother obviously is a thriller. So what genre are you looking at next? Maybe a love story?
네, 물론 뭐 장르를 파괴하는 데 쾌감을 느끼긴 하지만 모든 장르를 다 해보고 싶습니다. 네, 뮤지컬을 제외하고.
Of course, I've been talking about breaking a lot of genres and stuff like that, but I do want to work with a whole bunch of different genres as well, except musicals.
네, 다음 작품은 SF, 사이파이 만화 원작을 하고 있는 프랑스 SF 만화의 원작을 가지고 지금 준비를 하고 있는데요. SF긴 하지만 오히려 SF이기 때문에 오히려 사실 인간에 관한 얘기입니다. 인간이란 무엇인가를 다루는 설국열차라는 영화인데요. 기차에 폐쇄된 기차에 남아있는 생존자들이 서로 치고받고 싸우는 얘기입니다. 격렬하게. 되게 어두운 SF 액션 영화가 되지 않을까.
My next film will in fact be a science fiction film. It's based on a French comic book called The Transpersonnage. And because it's sci-fi, it's ultimately about humans and humanity. And it's about a group of people living on an enclosed train and struggling amongst themselves.
Okay. You had a question? You, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you mentioned about at the end of Memories of Murder, sort of having the character look directly at the camera to be looking back at the audience. But I recall something very similar at the end of Barking Dogs Never Bite as well, sort of after the credits roll, where they're walking up the hill and they look directly at the camera and they flash the mirror at the audience. To what extent are you consciously pointing your films back at the audience and saying, this is not just about these characters, but this is about you, and take it as sort of even an indictment, perhaps, but sort of a personal look inside the audience or the culture?
말씀하신 장면도 그렇고 마더에서도 보면은 오프닝 씬에 그 주인공이 나와서 춤을 추잖아요. 갑자기 영화의 시작할 때와 끝날 때 어느 하나의 텍스트 안으로 들어가고 나오는 어떤 그 경계선에서 저는 뭔가 좀 이상한 짓을 하고 싶어하는 편입니다. 예. 그 텍스트의 경계선에 있기 때문에 거기선 뭔가 예외적인 일을 해도 허용될 것만 같은 느낌이랄까요? 또는 관객들과 뭔가 되게 단순하고 직접적인 뭔가 이야기를 할 수 있을 것 같은 그것이 영화의 처음과 끝인 것이죠. 영화의 중간에는 그런 짓을 할 수 있는 찬스가 별로 없는 것 같아요.
Of course, in Mother, there's a scene in the beginning where she's dancing on the field and she looks straight at the camera as well. And I think I like to do that at the beginning and the end of entering a text and coming out of a text. So that edge, that border, that edge where we come upon to coming in contact with this film. I feel that maybe because it's at that beginning or at the end that you're kind of allowed to, direct something at the audience that way and make something very direct in contact with, to the audience. Though it's not something, and,
Prandase 같은 경우는 그 거울을 이렇게 반사하잖아요, 빛을. 그게 이제 빛과 어둠에 관련된 콘트라스트가 있어서 특히 더 그렇게 하고 싶었던 것 같아요. 그 남자 캐릭터는 비록 대학 교수가 되는 데는 성공했지만 어둠 속에 이렇게 갇혀지잖아요. 커튼이 쳐지면서. 그래서 어둠 속에 갇혀지고, 여자 주인공은 비록 그 사무실에서 해고됐지만 그 숲에 가서 밝은 빛을 받는단 말이죠. 그 빛을 이제 관객한테, 뭐 지금 생각하면 좀 유치한데, 관객한테 이렇게 반사해 주는 거죠. 그 선물처럼. 특히 그 시점은 그 엔딩 롤 크레딧이 많이 올라간 뒤이기 때문에, 보통 한국에서는 롤 크레딧이 시작되면 관객들이 많이 나가버리거든요. 근데 나가지 않고 끝까지 남아서 그걸 보는 사람들을 위한 특별한 선물로서, 예. 남아 있었던 사람들만 볼 수 있었던 장면으로 그렇게 했던 기억이 나네요.
Of course, the mirror at the end of Barking Dogs Never Bite, I was kind of playing with the themes of light and dark. In the previous scenes, we just up to the ending, we see that the professor finally has his tenure, and he goes behind a kind of dark room, and we see a shade come over him, even though he's got the tenure. In this scene, we see the female character walking in the forest, and she's been fired from her job, but she's receiving the light through the forest. And this is kind of cheesy, but it was kind of my way of awarding people who stayed over past the credits, because usually people leave when the credits start rolling. So if you happen to stay in the theater after the credits roll, you kind of get a little present from me with that scene.
All right, I have another question about Mother, because I saw it at New York Film Festival, and what struck me, I think you mentioned it before, Mother is much more based on a single character. I mean, there are other important ones around her, but it's much more focused on a single character. And it's really built around, you know, the really wonderful performance by Kim Hae-ja. So I'm just wondering if you wrote the film with her in mind, because I know she's been around like a long time, and she was very familiar to your audience. So I'm just wondering if you wrote it for her in mind or afterwards.
이거는 끊어서 하나씩. 사실 그분 때문에 그 여인 때문에 김혜자 씨 때문에 영화를 처음 만들게 된 거죠. 출발 자체가 그 그녀 때문이었습니다.
The beginning of this film Mother was in fact specifically for her, and she was the starting point of this movie.
스토리를 만들고 이제 스크립트를 쓴 다음에 배우를 캐스팅한 게 아니라 그 배우 때문에 스토리를 만들게 됐습니다.
I didn't write the script and then find an actor. I wrote the script for her, knowing the actor who was going to be in it.
그분은 이제 제가 태어나기 전부터 그 연기를 했던 분인데 40년 이상의 경력을 갖고 계신 한국의 대배우인데 또 국민 엄마 되게 상징적인 거의 아이콘이죠. 엄마 하면 김혜자죠. 한국에서. 그래서 그런 상징적인 존재인데 저는 어릴 때부터 약간 좀 이렇게 변태적인 관점이 있었는지 좀 죄송한 표현이지만 저분은 약간 사이코 같다. 인자한 어머니로 나오지만 사실은 되게 어두운 광기가 있다라는 관점에서 계속 봤었어요. 그래서 예, 네, 일단 거기까지.
Kimeja is obviously a very respected and very respected actress of her time. She's been acting in Korean TV for 40 years and to the point where when you say mom, Kimeja is like the symbolic person that you think of, especially in Korean media. And despite that, I had a kind of a perverse kind of sense about her that when I saw her on screen, I would think that she's kind of a psychotic person. She has a dark psychosis about her. And that's how I approached her.
그래서 그 배우를, 김혜자라는 배우를 그 광기 어린 존재로, 그러니까 광기로서 다룬다는 것은, 다룬다는 것은 엄마의 광기를 다룬다는 것과 마찬가지죠. 그녀 그 배우 자체가 엄마이기 때문에 존재가 그 배우를의 어두운 그 다크한 면을 다룬다는 것은 엄마의 어두운 면을 다룬다는 것이었죠. 거의 자동적으로 그렇게 됐어요. 그래서 이런 스토리를 사실 쓰게 된 거죠. 그 배우를 위해서 또 그 배우에 의해서. 네.
Because Kim Hye-ja is in the symbolic sense the mother to take on that character, that person's psychosis is equally means to take on the psychosis of a mother. And in dealing with that actor's psychosis, I was kind of dealing with a greater psychosis of mothers in general. And that was where I was trying to go with this film.
그래서 2004년도에 이제 처음 그분을, 이제 김혜자 씨를 뵙고 이 스토리를 말씀드렸던 기억이 나네요. 여의도에 있는 한 호텔 식당이었었는데, 그때 되게 긴장했었던 기억이 납니다. 이 스토리를 말씀드리고 혹시 이거 싫어하시면 어떡하나. 그분이 안 한다고 하면은 못하는 거였거든요. 다른 배우로 대체해서 할 수 있는 스토리가 아니었어요. 그분을 전제로 한 거였기 때문에. 근데 한 10분 정도 제가 스토리를 말씀드렸는데 되게 좋아하시더라고요. 정말 이런 거 하고 싶었다고. 그때부터 이제 모든 것이 잘 순조롭게 진행이 됐습니다.
So in 2004, I went to meet her at a hotel restaurant in Yeouido, which is part of Seoul. I was kind of nervous because if she didn't like the movie, this was not going to be made. This was a movie that I specifically wrote for her. If she says she doesn't like it, it's not going to be made at all. And fortunately, she loved the idea. She accepted it very, very welcome. And she said, this is the kind of movie that I was looking for. I really wanted to do this kind of film. And from then on, it was a very easy process of making the film.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm a film student at NYU, and I was just wondering how you've changed and refined your artistic process and your directing through the years, and in general, what advice you have to aspiring filmmakers?
솔직히 얘기하면은 그 오다가 지금 제가 오늘 뉴욕에 도착했는데 비행기에서도 제가 설국열차 시나리오를 쓰고 있는데요. 사실 저도 지금 되게 힘들거든요. 이런 말 하면 좀 되게 미안한데 시나리오 쓰면서 저도 너무 힘들고 이게 도대체 왜 지금 다섯 번째 영화인데도 이렇게 참 계속 힘들고 어려울까. 아마 평생 그러지 않을까 이런 두려움도 들더라고요.
그 뭔가를 영화적으로 깨닫거나 또는 뭐 새로운 경지에 도달하는 순간이 과연 올까라는 그런 두려움이 있어요. 저도 항상. 그런데 알고 보면 우리가 알고 있는 거장들도 다 그런 고민과 고통 속에 살았더라고요. 그 감독들의 책을 읽어보면요. 안제이 바이다 같은 폴란드의 거장 그분 같은 경우도 엑스트라 500명이 기다리고 있는 촬영장에 가면서 너무 고통스럽고 긴장되고 무서워서 중간에 차에서 내려서 토하고 막 이랬대요. 뭐 그런 거에 비하면 그 구로자와 아키라도 자살 시도한 적 있잖아요. 영화 잘 안 되고 엎어지고 막 이래가지고. 그런 분들에 비하면야 우리들의 그 아무리 고통의 발버둥을 치고 고민을 해도 사실 세 발의 피가 아닐까 이런 생각도 들고요. 저 같은 경우는 잘 모르겠어요. 아직 영화를 네 편밖에 못 찍었기 때문에 딱히 저의 뭐 영화적인 철학이나 이걸 말씀드릴 처지는 못 되고 대신 그거는 하나 있었던 것 같아요. 제가 했던 영화는 다 남들이 했던 것과 비슷한 영화가 있었다고 생각하진 않아요. 남들이 하지 않았던 거를 하고 싶었었고요. 그것이 장면이건 영화건 남들이 안 한 걸 했을 때 항상 쾌감을 느꼈었거든요. 그게 뭐 창작자 또는 거창하게 말하면은 뭐 예술가 저 자신은 예술가라고 생각하지는 않습니다만은 창작하는 사람의 어떤 유일한 목표이자 그 어떤 뭐랄까 즐거움인 것 같아요. 내가 죽으면 이런 영화를 아무도 할 수 없다라는 상태. 뭐 예를 들어 어떤 가수가 마이클 잭슨이 작년에 하늘나라로 갔지만 그 사람의 노래를 이제 그 사람이 떠났기 때문에 다른 사람이 할 수 없잖아요. 대체할 수 없는 거잖아요. 그거인 것 같아요. 아티스트라는 사람들의 유일한 즐거움 내지는 보람이랄까 그런 거는.
It's in fact very difficult for me right now. It's still a very difficult process of coming up with a new story and a new script. And in fact, you can also look at, I was looking, reading through some books about some great filmmakers of our past, and even they struggled a lot with making films and continuing what they were doing. Someone like Anjay Vaida had 500 extras waiting for him on a set, and while he was driving out to go there, he had to get out of the car because he was so nervous he had to throw up on the side of the road. Someone like Kurosawa almost killed himself. I think it's not to that point for me yet, and I'm not too worried about that, so I really can't say much about how or what. I don't have too much about good anything specific that I can tell you, but I think for myself, I wanted to make something that others didn't do before in general. And I think as a creator, as someone who makes something, as an artist, someone that does make something new, I think that's one of the joys that we can have and aspire to make something that someone else hasn't done before and someone won't be able to do again. Like last year when Michael Jackson died, his style of dance and his style of music was something that is probably irreplaceable right now. And I think something like that is what's important to aspiring artists and aspiring filmmakers, to do something that you can be proud of and that you can say it hasn't been done before and it won't be again.
Okay. 예, 일단 예, 가장 좋아하는 감독님을 만나서 굉장히 영광이고요. 그리고 제가 질문할 건 작년이었던 걸로 기억하는데요. 모 잡지와의 그 인터뷰에서 자신의 작품을 관통하는 가장 중요한 주제가 밥이라고 말씀을 하신 걸로 기억하는데 그 왜 밥이 이제 가장 중요한 주제로 이제 그 밥을 왜 가장 중요한 주제로 정하셨는지와 그리고 다음 작품이 이제 프랑스 만화 원작의 SF 작품을 하시게 됐는데 그 작품에서도 여전히 밥이 가장 중요한 주제로 등장하는지 그거에 대한 말씀을 예, 가능하시다면 좀 대답해 주셨으면 감사하겠습니다.
So the question was, he read in a magazine interview that Mr. Bong once said that the most important film element in his films is the element of food or eating. And his question in relation to that was whether his next film, the sci-fi picture that he's going to make, is also going to have that kind of theme of food in it.
아마도 그 밥에 대해서 먹는 것에 대해서 강조했던 것은 괴물이었던 것 같습니다. 저의 내 작품 전체라기보다는요. 네. 끊어서 하죠.
Rather than all the other previous films, I think I kind of emphasized that aspect of food much more so in The Host, my last film before this.
네. 그 괴물이란 영화에서 더 엄밀히 말하면 이제 푸드라기보다는 feed라고 해야 될까요?
Feed.
누군가 누구를 먹이는 거 있죠. 부모가 애를 먹이는 영화의 라스트 신도 송강호가 어떤 남자애를 데리고 와서 밥을 먹여주면서 끝나잖아요. 누가 누구를 보호하는 개념으로서.
Rather than food itself, I think the more important thing is someone feeding another person, a mother or someone, a caretaker feeding someone else. In the end of The Host, there's that scene where Song Kang-ho's character feeds the younger child.
괴물이란 영화에서 보면 그 가족들이 어떻게든 현서를 구해내려고 하고요. 딸을. 그 딸을 구해서 같이 맛있는 밥을 먹으려고 하는 게 그들의 가장 순박하고 원초적인 그 동기고. 그런데 정작 그 괴물의 은신처에 갇혀있는 현서는 또 자기보다 더 조그만 남자애를 걷어먹이려고 하잖아요. 보호하려고 하고. 좋은, 그러니까 악순환이 아니라 좋은 의미에서 이제 선순환, 누군가가 누구를 보호하고 누군가 누구를 매긴다고 해야 될까요? 피드 하려고 하는 거에 연쇄고리인 거죠. 그러니까 그게 영화에 어떻게 보면은 은폐된 주제였던 것 같고요.
네. The most important dilemma for the family in The Host is that they want to rescue Hyunsu, who's been taken by the monster, and eat together and have a delicious meal. That's their most important concern for them. They want to share this meal and feed her. And in fact, when we see Hyunsu in the monster's hiding place, she's also protecting and feeding another younger boy that's with her. And I think, and it's that idea of someone protecting and someone caring for another person and feeding them and taking care of that person in that way is kind of a relation of links in that way in the film.
Yeah, I have a question about the casting Won Bin as the main character Do Jun. Why in the course of casting him, do you have any problem? Because he's a kind of a really polished and handsome guy in Korea, so a lot of girls like him. And some of my friends said that I didn't like that film because the Won Bin was not really like the character they expected, and like, yeah. So, do you have any problem in the course of casting him, or did you persuade him, or he just happily, you know, say okay to be in the film?
이병우 음악 감독님이라고요. 저랑 두 편 같이 작업을 했던 괴물도 했고 마더에서도 음악을 했던 이병우 씨께서 하루는 저를 보고 본 감독은. 예쁘거나 아름다운 것이 있으면은 그걸 파괴하고 싶어 하는 것 같아요. 그런 속성이 있는 것 같다고 얘기하더라고요.
이 병 호, who was the music director for two of my films, Host and The Mother, and Mother, he told me one day, came up to me and said, I think, Mr. Bong, you have a tendency to want to destroy the beautiful and nice things around you.
그 영화에서 김혜자 엄마 역할을 했던 이제 김혜자 선생님도 평소 때와는 되게 다른 모습으로 등장한 것처럼 아들 또한 그런 캐스팅이 되기를 바랬었고요. 아들은 이제 김혜자 씨의 경우와는 달리 김혜자 선생님 먼저 결정돼 있는 상태에서 누가 아들을 하면은 일단 어울릴까. 보통 가족은 서로 닮는다 그러잖아요. 얼굴 물론 또 어머니가 나왔으니까 그 원빈 씨의 눈을 이렇게 봤을 때 김혜자 씨 눈하고 되게 비슷하다는 느낌을 받았어요. 두 사람의 사진을 이렇게 붙여놓고 보니까. 눈빛 자체가 참 비슷하달까? 거기서 묘한 느낌을 받았고요. 그런 단순한 이유도 일단 첫 번째 있었고요. 네.
Kim혜자 is obviously a very unexpected character that she's playing after her long history of playing very stereotypical mothers in the movie. And like so, I wanted to cast someone that was very unexpected and very different for the role. And in trying to think of who would fit this role, I kind of looked at I one day came upon the stills, the headshots of the actors, Won Bin and Kim-hye-ja, and kind of found that the light in their eyes, their look, their glance, their gaze was something, there was something very similar about the two people. And you know how family members take after themselves. They look like, a son looks like her mother, a daughter looks like her dad, you know, things like that. So I found that there was some kind of thing in their eye that was very similar in both people when I looked at the headshots. That was one of the, or immediate shallow reasons for picking them.
그리고 원빈이란 배우를 저도 실제로 한 번도 본 적이 없었었는데 그 주변에 한 프로듀서가 실제로 보면 그 친구가 되게 촌놈이다. 그 고등학교 때까지 강원도 정선 산골짜기에서 자랐는데 되게 가난한 농가에서 정말 시골 사람이다. 그 텔레비전에서는 꽃미남 이렇게 배우로 이렇게 포장되어 있지만 사실은 되게 순박하고 시골틱한 사람이다라고 그래서 그 얘기를 듣고 좀 신기하기도 해서 실제로 만나봤었어요. 근데 네. 만났는데 정말 그렇더라고요. 그리고 본인이 어렸을 때 이제 산속을 뛰어놀면서 뱀 잡고 이렇게 자란 경험들을 얘기해 주는데 이 마더라는 영화에 나오는 그런 공간들, 그 시골과 도시의 어정쩡한 그런 경계선에서 일들이 막 벌어지잖아요. 그런 동네의 분위기, 그런 동네 할 일 없는 청년들의 분위기를 저보다도 훨씬 더 잘 알고 있더라고요. 오히려 제가 도움을 받을 정도로. 그래서 실제 만나보고 나서 되게 확신하게 됐고, 본인도 작품을 하고 싶어 했기 때문에 뭐 특별히 설득이라기보다는 시나리오를 보내준 다음날 바로 하고 싶다고 연락이 와서 순조롭게 진행이 됐습니다.
In fact, I never met Wonbin in person until the point that we came to casting. And talking amongst one of my staff crew, he mentioned to me that Wonbin, despite his very pure, pretty, kind of pretty face kind of image, he's really a country bumpkin kind of. And he's from the countryside of Gangwon-do, which is on the outskirts of Seoul. And that's what the staff member told me. And so when the movie takes place in this gray area between city and the rural area. So when I met Wonbin, he mentioned episodes of him playing around in the fields, catching snakes, and this guy really knew what it was like to live in that kind of area. And he knew that kind of mood, the thoughts that went through the people, young kids that didn't have anything to do in the area, you know, those kids that were playing around in the fields. He knew that kind of sensibilities much more than I knew myself. So I thought it was perfect. And when he looked at the script and took it over that next day, he came to me and said he'll do it. And that's the occasion where we got him for the part.
Okay, we have time for just one more. You?
Question.
I was just
wondering, is there a particular film that you know that is more dear to you than another? And I guess kind of specifically, I was just thinking, you know, if you kind of like Mother, or I mean, if you might like Mother better than you know, Memories of Murder, or vice versa. Or, you know, I was just kind of curious.
엄살 떠는 건 아니고 그냥 솔직하게 다 괴롭죠. 감독들이 다 그럴 겁니다. 아까도 이제 클립들을 봤지만 영화제라든가 이제 프로모션 때 어쩔 수 없이 자기 영화를 다시 보게 되는 경우가 있는데 다 되게 고통스럽죠. 다 다시 찍고 싶고 마더에서도 한 장면 빼고는 다 다시 찍고 싶습니다.
I'm not trying to be coy, but all films when you're making them are difficult and straining, and especially there's times when I go to film festivals and even occasions like this where I see my films, my past films on the screen, and I really want to shoot certain scenes over again. I want to do things completely different than last time than I did. And I think in Mother, there's exactly one scene that I want to change and do over again. But besides that, there's nothing else. I'm sorry. There's one scene that I'm satisfied with, and I want to really do over, yeah, the rest of the movie.
Which scene?
Onu scene.
Last scene.
The last scene.
그 저와 촬영 감독과 배우가 다 그 신에 대해서는 자부심을 갖고 있습니다.
Myself and the actress and the cinematographer are very satisfied with the final scene.
미국 분들은 아마 좀 낯서실 텐데 한국에선 실제로 고속버스에서 아주머님들이 춤을 춥니다.
To non-Korean audiences, that the women dancing on the bus might seem foreign, but it's a very Korean scene that you'll see in real life. Yeah.
I meant to ask about that, but it was beautiful anyway.
Okay. It was indeed. Before we close here, just a random poll: how many people in this room have ever worked on a school newspaper or school publication? I found out right before we started that Director Bong and Council Choi from the Korean Consulate General actually worked on their high school paper together. He wrote, and he did cartoons and art. So all of you who have started from those roots, great things ahead. We really would like to thank Michael Atkinson for a superb job. We hope to see you back, Michael. Sure. Thank you for kindly facilitating this. Ernest, thank you for the translation. And to Director Bong Joon-ho, thank you so much for spending time.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the speakers. It do not necessarily reflect the views of the Korea Society, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Korea Society. If you enjoyed it, please consider becoming a member. Visit www.koreasociety.org for more information about memberships and to learn more about the programs available at the Korea Society.